Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here in our midst. Just as we've opened our hands and arms up to you, Lord, pray that hearts right now would be open to you to receive the word that Dwayne's going to share. Open us wide, Heavenly Father, to receive what you have in store for us, I pray. This is a song that never really ends, right? On your playlist, you just go, oh, back again, okay, have a seat. Dwayne's a friend, a brother. We're going to let him share what the Lord has for us.
Shikarabasakit. John Darabaste. Luke, when you were knelt down there, I was reminded there's an old Western, the character named Cool Hand Luke. And I don't remember if he, I mean, I'm assuming, if I remember right, he's a gunslinger. I just hear the Lord saying that I'm changing you, I'm shifting your character. You're a gunslinger. But I'm going to teach you how to be a farmer. You're going to grow produce. Kingdom. You're gonna beat your sword into a plowshare. So you won't fight or strive any longer, but you'll be a harvester. You'll see a great harvest in the kingdom, says the Lord. Sarah, I hear the Lord saying, how long? How many times am I gonna have to ask you? When are we going to write together? Because it's time. It's time. It's time. Because you're a well. You're a deep well of many songs. You're going to start stepping out and singing the song of the Lord. You're going to start singing prophecies over people. There's going to come a day where you start singing the word of the Lord over people. You say, God, I'm waiting on you. He said, no, you're not. I'm waiting on you. You're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. What's your name?
Jose.
Jose, I see you writing manuals. I see you writing training. I see you teaching, instructing people. See God giving you practical application to many things. You're a fixer. But God says, let me show you how to fix it. Don't fix it yourself. Let me show you. Because I wired you that way, but you can't fix it yourself. You got to let me show you how. What's the keyboard player saying? Joanna. Joanna. Are you married, Joanna? You have children? How many children? Well, that makes sense. Because you got the spirit of Joanna Wesley. I went to her home. I stood in her kitchen. She had 19 children, so That is before there was a reality show or the Duggars. And Joanna Wesley said she would sit in her kitchen and she started a Bible study, and people started coming from the local parish, and the vicar accused her of sheep stealing. She was a woman of God, but she managed to spend time with each one of her kids every week. She spent an hour a week alone, individually with each one. You know, you do that math, that's 20 hours of your week right there. And she said, my only regret is that I only have 1 hour a week that I can give to each one of them individually. But out of that little tribe came Charles and John and the modern day Methodist movement. And I just see you instructing your children in the ways of the Lord. And I see one being a prophet to nations. I see another one being a church planter. I see another one being a worship leader. I see another one being an entrepreneur. It's going to be great things come through your children. So I bless Joanna's children. In Jesus' name. Kurabha sakata. This gentleman playing the guitar, you have a tremendous gift. But God's about to take you beyond your natural talent, and he's about to take you into prophetic dimension. You're going to prophesy on the guitar. When you do, blind eyes are going to open and deaf ears are going to hear. And great things will happen as you play. Because God took you from nothing. You were a zero. And he's turned you into a hero. You're going to be a role model for many young men to follow. And back when you were doing all kinds of things that you weren't meant to be doing, God saw this day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't wait on me. Just begin to worship him for a minute. I know we've been worshiping him, but just in your own way right now. This lady on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th or 6th row, you just put your hands down. You had your hands up like that? Yes, right there. What's her name? What's your name? Marilyn. Can you stand up, Marilyn? There is a huge angel standing right behind you. And he said, I'm waiting for Marilyn to dispatch me. So you have a gift of an intercessor, and when you pray, angels obey. And so they're waiting for assignments. They're waiting for assignments. So as you speak, they go. And there are nations that will be shaped and cities that will be transformed because of your prayers. And you, as you surrender to God, they come to serve. Because angels are looking for the wisdom of God to serve in the earth. And the wisdom of God is always displayed in servanthood. And Sarah, just like you were wrecked by that song today, others will be wrecked by the songs you write. God says, I just wanted to remind you. Boy, the heavy of God's in this house. That's what the glory is. It means weighty. It's heavy. The heavyweight's in the house. Why don't you just begin to sing in the spirit for a minute? This is Sunday night. Come on now, all the... You say, I can't sing. Just make a joyful noise in tongues. Brosta braga andara baste. Yama mana nana ne. Shokorororora. Yara rara ne ne ne. Yana nana nana. Seke yaro. Sokororo mashire. Brasta nandi ne ne. Yonan on the basini, yandanea. This young lady right here, what's your name?
Christy.
Christy. Christy, there are three things God wants to give you by the end of the year, between now and December 31st. Two of them are prayers you've been praying a lot. One of them is just a wish you've not really even prayed. But God says, I want to show you that how much I love you. And I hear him saying, I got it. I got this. One of them you've really been worried about, he said, I got this. I got this. Low key, you've been worried about it. God says, high key, I got this. And you'll prophesy. You'll have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, a prophetical flow. You said, man, I want to do that. God says, well, then do it. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, I just ask you to speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, don't go far. You can sit down, but don't go far, because I don't want you in the bathroom when I call you back. Just kidding. Give these guys a hand and they do a great job. I want to just unpack, really, rather than preach tonight, I want to unpack a prophetic word. Is that all right? And first of all, like, wow, where did y'all all come from? I turned around and it's amazing. You guys are hungry. Every year, those of you that know us and have been a part of what we've been doing for the last 15 years or so since I met you guys, the Lord gives me a prophetic word for the year. And although we're at September, we've only got about 3 months left in the year, I was going to do something different. But this just really wouldn't leave me, because I believe it's a word for this house that may extend beyond this year, but in particularly in the next 3 months, that something God wants to release over this house. And as we were moving into this year, about this time last year, the Lord began to speak to me. And I think even coming up to election season, there are some things we need to remember. And God, y'all, oh yeah, man, they didn't go far. It's like, I saw them out of the corner of my eye and thought it was angels. They're very obedient. When I said don't go far, they went like 6 inches. It's awesome. But the Lord began to give us a word. And the first word he gave us was resound. Everybody say resound.
Resound.
The word resound has several definitions. It means to sing the praises of. But it's more than just singing songs. Everybody in this room understands that if the praise my life makes only comes on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, then I'm missing something. I'm not even scratching the surface, because the reality is my life is singing somebody's praise. On Monday, I want my life to sing his praise. I want my actions, my attitudes, my words, my deeds, all of it to resound in the earth. Second definition for resound is to fill a place with sound. And tonight, even as we were singing in the spirit, that may have made you a little bit uncomfortable, but we were filling this space with sound. We were actually re-sounding the sound of heaven. Because heaven has a sound. It's not a black sound. It's not a white sound. It's not a Latino sound. It's a kingdom sound. When we moved into our building, they had had, there were three buildings on the property, and the church properties had worship on it for 100 years next January. Or this coming January. So it'd been 99 years, and they built a new building in 2001 or 3, something like that. And that building, they'd have four splits in 11 years. So I wanted to fill that place with a new sound. They'd had a sound of division. I wanted a sound of unity. One of the first things, first Sundays, the young lady comes and she says, I grew up in this church. I saw that in the paper where you had bought it. I went on your website. She's a white girl. She said, when I came as a teenager, I was dating an African-American young man and I was asked to never come back. I wanted to create a different sound. And she said, so I came, I went on your website, saw that you had black people in this church and Hispanic people and white people and all kinds of people. So she said, I came, and she said, this is amazing. The building was packed. She said, I've never seen this building full. And she was just in tears. 9 months later, her boyfriend came. It took him 9 months to believe her. But he came and gave his heart to Jesus after 9 months. Why? Because we made a different sound. Not a sound of racism. Not a sound of race baiting, but a sound of unity and faith. One of our tech guys came to us and said, we want to put speakers all throughout the foyers and upstairs, downstairs, and everywhere, and just play worship music. And I said, yes. When I opened the door the first time, they had worship playing in every crevice of the building. And I began to weep, because I thought, this is the sound of heaven. But how many times in our life are there spaces and rooms that are filled with the wrong sound? Or maybe they're not filled with any sound at all. I'm sure those bathrooms have been filled with negative sounds and talking about the pastor and this and that. But now it's filled with before we came, but now it's filled with the sound of heaven. And although that's a natural thing, it's a prophetic picture of our lives, because I believe sound shifts atmospheres. This young lady, I could ask her to play a chord, and she could play a happy chord and everyone would get happy. She could play an eerie chord and chills would run up your spine. Hollywood understands it. It's called mood music. That's why when you hear Donna, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun- You think Jaws, if you're old enough to remember that. If you saw the Bates Motel, you, anyway. Sound shifts atmosphere. So the sound coming out of my life shifts the atmospheres that I go into. The reality is God's called us to shift the atmosphere. The sound of our life. The last definition that we discovered was resound is to be loud enough to echo. I want to live life loud. And I believe that God, and I'm talking about on the internet, and I'm not talking about on Facebook. There's too many loud Christians on social media. Come on, can I get an amen? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people whose character is loud. They love loud. They live loud. They give loud. Their life is screaming the sound of heaven. The truth is that when you get loud enough, you create an echo. And people say, well, I would rather be a voice than an echo. And that's true. But you will only be a voice to your generation when you are an echo to heaven. And when you're echoing, when you're saying what heaven is saying, you get loud enough to make an echo in the earth where somebody wants to repeat what you're saying. I don't want to make my own sound, and I don't want to echo pop culture. I want to echo the sound of heaven and be a voice to my generation. Then everybody say resound. Then as we began to pray some more, the Lord gave us another word for this season, and that is the word redound. It's not a word we use a lot. You didn't talk about redounding today, I'm sure. It's an old English word. It means to contribute greatly. To contribute greatly to. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power... That's hyperbole or hyperbole in the Greek. The exaggeration is not of us, but of God. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. Then if you skip down to verse 12, he says, so then death is working in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith. As it is written, we believe, therefore we've spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. That's resounding. But then watch this. Once you resound, in verse 14 he says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up by Jesus and present us with you. Verse 15, for all things, all what things? All that trouble he talked about in verse 7, 8, 9. Are for your sakes that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many redound or contribute to the glory of God. And I've got a word for somebody today. Your trouble can work for you. Your trouble either contributes to your demise or it contributes to your testimony. Your trouble either destroys you or your trouble delivers you and gives you a testimony to the world. If you read that in the message, it says more and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. The reason that's significant is when you're reading it in the King James, it says the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So is it that I go through stuff and then I'm thankful, and then it gives glory to God? Or is it that I go through stuff, and glory comes, and then I'm thankful? And then is it that I'm thankful, or you're thankful, or you're thankful, and then I'm thankful? And so I was kind of confused in that reading of it. So I called our good friend, the Greek scholar, Dr. Grabowski. He's not really a doctor, but I call him that anyway. He ought to be. I called Jack, and I was going through all that. I said, which is it? He said, yes. He pulled out his Greek Bible and read it in Greek. And he said, yes. I said, yes, what? Which is it? He said, it's all of it. He said what he's saying is the trouble produces glory. Grace comes. When the trouble comes, grace comes to help you deal with the trouble. When the grace comes, it causes thanksgiving in you. But then others see that God's grace came on you when the trouble came, so they give thanks to God that God did something for you. And they realize if he did it for you, he can do it for them. So then you're giving thanks and they're giving thanks. And when they give thanks, then they go through trouble and then grace comes on them. And then you're giving thanks for the grace on them and they're giving thanks for the grace on them. And then somebody else sees God's grace on them and says, wow, if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. Are you getting the picture? More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. And that's what's happening in this house. So when you're resounding, everything contributes to the glory of God by the grace of God, which brings the praise of God. Then I looked up synonyms for the word redound, and one of them was rebound. I thought, now that word I know. See, when praise resounds in your life, glory rebounds back into your life. When your praise goes up, glory rebounds back. And God told me to tell somebody that by the end of this year, you're going to have your greatest comeback. This is the year of the comeback. Paul said, I've been persecuted, but I've never been orphaned. I've been knocked down, but I've never been knocked out. I've been pursued, but ain't nobody ever caught me. I've got more comebacks than Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, and George Foreman all put together. And you do too. Somebody say, I'm coming back. Then all of that, when you put it together, results in the fourth word that God gave us for this season is that his glory will be renowned, R-E-N-O-W-N-E-D. Psalms 135, 13, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, through all generations. The word renown means to be talked about or known about by many, celebrated or famous. Simply put, I say it all the time, God put us in the earth to make Jesus famous. When our lives resound and his glory begins to redound and we rebound, the result is his name is renowned in our generation. Are you getting the picture? See, there's a common thread among these words. And this thread began to come out over and over and over. Because God loves this stuff. Words like restore, redeem, refresh, renew, resource, replenish, reclaim, respawn, rejuvenate, refine, rekindle, revive, repurpose, recreate. Is anybody getting the thing? See, God comes to redeem you. And when he redeems you, he restores you. And as he restores you, he renews you. And as he renews you, he repurposes you. He reclaims your life and repurposes you. Then he refreshes you and he refires you. You get the idea. So really, the word for this season is not a word. It's the prefix, re. Re, when you add it to any word, means again. So if God's ever done anything, he can do it. And again. It's his nature. See, God doesn't need He doesn't need refreshing. He's always fresh. He doesn't need revival. He is viva, life. He is vival. He doesn't need revival. God doesn't need resources. He's the source. We talked about that this morning. So God, though anything that is in his nature, if he's done it once, he can and will do it again. If anybody's ever played Scrabble, any Scrabble players in here? Four of you. Words with friends, same thing. You can be way behind But if you get an S, you can add that S to the word, and especially if it's a double word, double letter, double word, you hit that S, you can add plus one. But there's something better than S, and that's R-E. You can be playing a wordsmith that is dozens of points ahead of you, and if you hit an R-E just right, you can take their best word and you can double it or triple it, and you go up to a whole nother level. I've come to tell somebody tonight, this is the year of the R-E. You may have been behind, but God is about to catch you up. This was a leap year. And in leap year, we've been behind for 3 years and we catch up. I hear God saying, it's time for the re. The Hebrew word for remember is zakar. And it means much more than to recall. It's to retain in your thoughts constantly. It's used many times in Exodus and often as a memorial or a constant reminder. Why? Because he's saying, if I brought you out of Egypt, and I delivered you once, I can deliver you again and again and again. And he actually told him to set up stones of remembrance. Whenever we take communion, we're remembering. So I've come to tell somebody tonight, if he did it once, he'll do it again. If he's healed once, he can heal again. If he's delivered once, he can deliver again. And he will. If you could just start tickling those fake ivories. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. This is in the English Standard Version. And he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Cody, would you hand me those? So I want to ask you a question. What's your re? What re is God speaking over you tonight? Man, we've had people all year. God's given them re words for the year, for the month, for the week, for the day. So God's here. The heavens open in this place tonight. What's your re? Just close your eyes for just a minute. Let him speak to you. Let him speak. Just begin to listen to him. He's talking. He's talking. What's your re? Do you need refreshing? Do you need refiring? Do you need God to rewrite your story? Well, that's a word for dozens of people. God's rewriting your story. You just got to give him the pen. Some of you, God's reassuring you. You've been very insecure. You've been in a very insecure place. God says, tonight I want to reassure you. I want to reassure you. Some people, God's reassuring you of your salvation. Some of you, He's reassuring you that you're in the right church. Some of you, He's reassuring you that you married the right person because you're married to Him. That just made Him the right person. What's your ring? Well, somebody, God's speaking, rekindle. Lady here, what's your name? Yeah. Yolanta. I've never heard that name. Yolanta, I hear the Lord saying that I'm repurposing some things in your life. They lost purpose. It's very popular, reclaim things, repurposed wood. And now we're taking old things and making them really worth a lot of money. Things that were junk before are treasures now. And God says, I'm taking the trash from your past and I'm making it treasure for other people's future. I'm reclaiming, redeeming, restoring. Well, I see God restoring the furniture of your life. I bless you now in Jesus' name. This lady here, I hear the Lord saying, I'm rejuvenating you. It's a season of rejuvenation. The enemy tried to get you tired. He tried to wear you out. He tried to discourage you. God says, I'm rejuvenating you. And you, sir, I hear the Lord saying, I'm remolding you. You've always said, when God made me, He broke the mold. And God says, I'm remolding you. Because I'm going to help you mold other young men into my image. There's an anointing for that on your life. I'm also refocusing you. Boy, that's a word for several people right now. Refocus. You've had your focus on the wrong thing. God says, I'm refocusing you. Mike and Mercy, I hear the Lord saying, I'm refocusing your life. I'm refocusing. I'm not talking about you've done something wrong, but the enemy's tried to get you to focus on some things. And God says, I'm gonna make that blurry and I'm gonna refocus you, the lens of your life. Especially in the area of your children. There's people, God's reprioritizing you. Well, some of you, what was fifth on your priority list is going to number one. And what used to be so important, by the end of the year, you're just going to say, man, it's amazing. I just don't even care about that anymore. God says, I'm reprioritizing you. What's your ring? Man, if you have a pen or a piece of paper or a digital apparatus, you ought to write it down because He's speaking all over this room. Some of you, He's giving you several. Some of you, he's giving you rewords you don't even know what they mean. Some of you think you know, but you're going to look it up and you're going to find out, wow, I didn't know that. What's your read? Can we just worship him for a minute, Sarah?
Washing over me, your face is all I see. You are my everything, Jesus Christ. You are my one desire, Lord. Hear my only cry to know you all my life. Your love so washing over me, your face is all I seek. You are my everything, Jesus Christ. You are my one desire, Lord. Hear my only cry to know you all my life.
I hear the Lord saying, I'm refilling somebody. You've just been empty. You've just been saying, my tank has been empty for a long time. God's refilling you right now. He's refilling your tank. There's somebody that you've run out of energy. I hear God saying, I'm re-energizing you. I'm re-energizing you. I hear God saying, I'm re-inspiring. There's somebody that when you were 21, you were so inspired. But now, that was just a memory. You just feel like I have no inspiration. God says, I'm re-inspiring you. Some of you were filled with the Holy Spirit years ago, and he's refilling you with the Holy Spirit because you leaped. You leaped. You want to be refilled, he'll refill you. So what are you doing? I'm just waiting a minute. Letting him speak ease all over this room. Some of you, I hear God saying, I'm giving you a redo. So I've blown it and I blew it again and again and again. Talk about re. God says, well, repent and I'll give you a redo. Restart. Reset. God's great at resetting the button. I preached about that at the beginning of the year. Big reset. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what I want to do. Well, it doesn't matter what I want to do. Here's what I believe the Lord wants us to do. We met with, I don't know, it's about 40 or 50 ministry team. Partners, people before the meeting. And I want to ask those people to, they didn't know I was going to do this, but they're flexible. They're flexible. I want to ask you to get in maybe groups of two or three and just line up around this building in just a moment. And as the worship team begins to continue to worship, if God, here's the two things. If God's given you a re, but you really need agreement, you really need somebody to agree with you about that thing because you say it's great, but I don't see how it's going to happen. come tell them your reword and let them pray with you over it. Or maybe you got a word, you don't know what it means. Give them that and they'll pray with you about it. Maybe the Lord will show them. Maybe they'll have a word for you. Or if you just didn't get anything, you said, I've just been sitting here and I've been... got nada. Come to them and maybe the Lord will give them one for you. I would love to come prophesy over every one of you, but it really wouldn't be productive because it'd take us a long time and you would regret it. All joking aside, I said the other day, the one re I do not want to live my life with is regret. I'd rather live with the pain of discipline than the pain of regret. So if you need prayer, whether you got a word, you need prayer over it or understanding of it, or maybe you just didn't get one and you just want them to pray with you. I don't know if the Lord will give them one or not, but if for some reason he doesn't, go home, and I bet he does at night, tonight. Get a pen and a piece of paper by your bed because he's speaking again and again and again. Just before they do that, Cody, if you would come, I want to say again what a privilege and an honor it's been for us to be here. I always look forward to coming to this house because I feel at home. You let me say crazy things. And usually only my church does that. I preached a few messages this year that, man, I hit people pretty hard about this whole race issue. And I hit white people, I hit black people, I hit Hispanic people, I just hit us all. Even last week I started a series called Rethink, and we've been played. And we need our minds renewed. So thank you for letting me challenge you, letting me be me. If you're new around here, you may not know what Hooper is. That's my wife and I's life story. We're out of my book. We have about three of hers left, I think. It's called Hooper Woman. It's a phenomenal book. The testimonies of this pour in all the time. If you're new around here and you've not got that book, raise your hand, and I want to give it to somebody. Gentlemen, do yourself a favor and buy your wife that book and then read it when she's not looking. I had a guy say he was reading it on an airplane and he was crying. The lady said, what are you reading? He said, Hooper Woman. And she said, all right then. She did not know how to do that. Jeff Lucas from the UK said, his endorsement on the back of that book says, if you're a woman, read this book. If you're a man, read this book. I guess if you're neither one, read this book. We have some digital downloads. This is a series on identity called Hacked. Has your identity been stolen? This will help you understand who you are in Christ and live that revelation out. If you want that, raise your hand quickly, quickly. Run, Cody. I less like to watch him run. See if he'll obey. We have a school of prophecy. I've told you about this in the morning, both services, but we just redid this. After 13 years, this is video and audio and a workbook and fill in the blanks. You can do it as a small group. You can do it individually. We have lots of churches going through this, like in small groups or connect groups. But it'll help you hear the voice of God, how to give a prophetic word, receive a prophetic word, what to do when I get a prophetic word. It's very practical, very nuts and bolts how the prophetic works. If you want that, raise your hand. If you go back there and tell him, he's back there in the back in the corner. If you go back and tell him that you follow me and Chris on Twitter, Snapchat, all those things, he'll give you a free resource. All the finances from that don't go to me. I don't keep any of it. Goes to missions because we're trying to change the world one life at a time. Ministry team, take your places wherever that is, all around the building. And if Merle wants to give any more instruction, great. If not, I'll tell you what I tell you every time. I love you. There's nothing you can do about it.
let's stand up. And please take advantage of this prayer time. You can go find a twosome somewhere to pray for you. And if you're not at one of those stations, just hang with us for the next 5-10 minutes, and we're going to worship together. And as we're worshiping and lifting up the name of the Lord, He speaks through the body to one another. So don't disengage or check out. Let's just worship together while people are receiving ministry, and then we'll have a benediction where we're all dismissed together. Let's go, worship team.